recorded on the 26th of November, 1962. Medium, Leslie Flint.
Good evening, Mickey. Everything all right tonight?
Greetings, my child.
Greetings to you, Lucilla.
In our attempts to bring to you the consciousness of reality, we must remember at all times the spirit, which is the animating force behind all life, is at all times conscious of all that has transpired and all that is transpiring at that moment of time in which it is manifesting itself. Some form or other, even for instance, in an earthly body, the spirit is making itself felt, is conscious of all that is transpiring in that physical moment of time called Earth. It is conscious of all that has transpired in the past and is eagerly waiting for expression and experience in what you term the future, when the body is at rest during so-called sleep. The consciousness of the spirit is still manifesting itself in various ways, and on the waking moment of return to earth from sleep state so-called, the brain of the individual has a hazy recollection of experiences, often jumbled, often confused and mixed, but there are occasions when the spirit, being temporarily apart from the body, though still connected to it, that it is able to enter into dimensions beyond the normal understanding of man. The spirit is able to go backwards in time and sometimes forward in time, and of course it it is able to go in another dimension, of which man yet has not fully grasped the reality and the meaning. I am speaking in this fashion tonight so that I might be able to give you the key to certain things which mystify. For without the key, you cannot hope to fully realize the miracle of life. Too often in your world, people refer to life not only on a physical plane, but also on a spiritual one. There are those who, by religious upbringing or persuasion or experience, without knowledge, refer to the future life, or the life hereafter, or the life of the spirit, whatever term they wish to give it. They talk of the future life. But if one is to talk about a future life while yet in the present life, there must also obviously have been a beginning which suggests a previous life. What is important is not to think of the body as the individual, not even to think of the body as the expression of the individual in the truer sense. It is a momentarily given vehicle of expression. When man can rid himself of the limitation of time, and in consequence the limitations that religion and religions have set upon him, when he can broaden his realization of truth and understand that the expression of the spirit is limited to a great extent by himself from an earthly point of view. Once he can rid himself of strong-rooted ideas and preconceived notions, once he can free himself from the shackles of the manifold religions that have burdened mankind for centuries, once he can break the bonds that hold him and chain him down to an earthly interpretation of the will and the purpose of life, once he can realize the immensity of the spirit, that it cannot be confined in time, that it is beyond your expression, as you understand the meaning of expression in your limited way of earth. When you can accept the reality not only of the moment, not only the reality of the life that is yet to come in a different form, with a wider opportunity and expression, and you can then accept the past, of which the majority of people's do not remember or realize because of the limiting factors that man has created through his ignorance and through his foolishness, because he has burdened himself with outworn creeds and dogmas and shut his mind to truth. Once you can begin to perceive the immensity of spirit, once you can realize that the vehicle of the body is but a temporary house for its expression, expression of the divine spirit, once you can realize that you can go backwards, you can go forwards, you can go upwards, and you can go downwards. If you can realize that the body, in a sense, is a focal point while you are inhabiting it or using it, that all around and about you, in what you term the ether, in this great, vast, enormous space, lie all the knowledge, lie all the ideals, all the experiences, all the opportunities of man and his inheritance. Only one can make you grasp the immensity of the power of the spirit. And trying to bring it through that vehicle, and it is the only vehicle that you have of expressing, of sensing, of feeling, of knowing, of understanding, this temporary house which you inhabit upon the moving globe of matter, which is revolving at such a pace, and yet to those of us in outer space, in outer life, it seems as if you are going so slowly that you barely move in consequence to us, because we are uninhibited and unaffected. We are able to express all the intensity of our knowledge and realization of being, and yet I would not have you think that because we are in this tremendous world of life, of which there is no beginning and no end, which in itself is so tremendous and so immense, I still would not have you think that your earthly body and its use and purpose is useless and pointless. I have talked in the past about incarnations and to some extent their meaning and their purpose, some of which has been comprehended and some which has not, some which is confused, as indeed possibly it well must be when one considers how difficult it is to put into your world great truths when the limitations are so many. I would not have anyone think that the earthly lives which we take on are unimportant. We must try to realize that the earth world is only a small part of our opportunities. We must try to realize that the earth world, because of its importance, and it is important, We must try to understand that all these incarnations, which as I've often likened them to links in a chain, are important. We can go back into the earliest known times and trace what must have been nearly at least the beginning of expression. And yet we are conscious, even when we think and talk of this, that it was perhaps not the true beginning. For I am firmly convinced that life, the life-giving force which animates all forms of existence, had an earlier story to tell, that there are no known words or forms of expression in which it could be given, and so we can only commence, as I said a long time ago, with Lemuria, but before that there was life, but it may not have been a conscious form of existence. Only we can understand this. I said that I wanted, if I could, to give you the key. But as I give you the key, in a sense, I am conscious of the fact that though it fits perhaps the lock, because the door has been shut for so long upon these truths, the hinges and the lock are rusted through man's foolishness and ignorance, and it will not be easy to push open the door. But still it is my task, if I can, to make it possible for all to realize how foolish it is to limit man's being, man's spiritual abilities and possibilities, man's spiritual nature, one's infinite variety of form and expression and meaning and purpose and life itself, to one puny, small existence on earth. There will be those who will say, we realize the importance of our earthly life. In it we must learn lessons that are essential to us, and that is why we suffer. That is why sometimes life seems perhaps hard and difficult. For all the time man is burning through suffering, this is true. This has oft times been said, but it is but a small part of the truth. Man is not confined in one body, nor in several bodies, nor in several incarnations. Man may be called by many names and have many experiences under many forms in many existences, but he is not man that is called man. He is not man that is a name and is known by such. This is but form and shape. This is but some part of the reality, the infinite variety which constitutes life, truly lived and appreciated and understood and expressed, is beyond one short existence, or even many earthly times. Only I can clarify, when you talk about your life, and as one perhaps looks back upon it in a material sense, it seems long, Years drag wearily, and time hangs often, though sometimes it seems fleeting. And ofttimes man doubts through ignorance the reality of his being, the purpose of his life seems remote. How often do we not hear people say, if there be a God, why does he permit this that has fallen upon me? In times of suffering and tribulation and sorrow, man ofttimes begins to search, begins to reach out for illumination and light. And sometimes he finds it, perhaps dimly, perceives it. When we see in earthly existence the glimmering of truth, oftentimes the immensity of life seems frightening. It oftentimes seems that the future, such as it well may be from an earthly point of view, seems too much to face. And there are those in the weaker moments who release themselves from earth prematurely, thinking to find freedom from anxieties, from earthly sorrows and worries. Sometimes also with a desire not only to escape from the burdens of earth, but they think to find again something which once was dear and important. What is important in this to remember and realize is that in no form of existence and in no way can one escape from oneself, or from one's own path, the path of evolution, because that is what life is, evolving, evolving and evolving, through many, many, many conditions of existence. We must not doubt that. If we do, it is because we are afraid often to face that which must become, even to the most hardened materialist. We are trying to avoid the obvious issues. We can never escape from life, for life is indestructible. The spirit is indestructible. And those who, for some reason or another, anticipate escaping, soon realize that they have shut one door only to open another, and that they will be faced once again with problems, perhaps of a different nature, of a different kind, but nevertheless, because we must all go through these lives, these opportunities for expression, for experience, for the unfolding of our true selves. It is as if we are given the opportunity, as indeed we are, for a brief moment to give forth illumination that will beckon, enlighten the path, not only for our own stumbling steps in the darkness, that others may also see, if only momentarily. We must remember that all these experiences, these lives, are not wasted, are not useless, are not pointless, but they are essential. For where the power of the Spirit is, there is life, in some form or another. And we must not see time or centuries in the same material sense that the vast majorities of people do. We must see it not in a line, as it seems that so many do, that you can go back on this line 2,000 years, 4,000 years, whatever it may be, and you reach a given point one way and the other, and you can go no further. This is not a line. This is not a straight line of time. All life in its expression, if I can put it in this sense, is circular. It is never straight. It never goes in one direction. It is all embracing. It is not a point to point. It is not a beginning and an end. It is always, as it were, on a curve, so that you get a little way and you can see perhaps a trifle further, but you cannot see, as the curve bends, that much further along the path. But the path is there, just as then. It is going on and on and on and on and on and on. And so vast it is. There is no realization of its beginning or of its end. If one could describe, if there were a method or a way in which one could describe the power of the Spirit and what that really means, one would have to be able to talk in a language which is far removed from the limiting thoughts of earth. We must not think of ourselves as we were, or as we are, or as we know ourselves to have been or are at this given time, but see ourselves beyond time and space with all the fullness of life and the realizations, all the accumulations of experience and knowledge, and if we can gather that to us, and then realize we are like things, we begin to perceive the immensity of it all. We are such tremendous beings. And if I use the word beings, it is because I want you to realize that no matter how progressed one may be, we are still, in a sense, beings. I would not have you think that we lose sense of self in shape, in form, but we must think of ourselves not anymore as bodies, not as we were once or are now. We must realize that we are the immensity of God's will and purpose. And we must remember when we think this, that we are beyond time and space, and that we are manifesting the divine force in all things, and that this thing that we term God, this name that we give to this vital force or power, which is life, is but a term. We are in the immensity of space, inhabiting often many forms at different times, and at the same time, that we can be and are and will be, that we have within ourselves no limiting factors. The only limiting factors are those conditions which we ourselves bring upon ourselves. On earth, these limiting factors are many. But in spite of the limiting factors of earth, one sees man's spirit bursting the chains. One sees men grappling with great problems and unraveling and solving some of the mysteries of the universe. Man is just beginning to perceive the immensity of space. He's beginning to reach out and he's beginning to seek it, and is gradually beginning to find. And soon, how soon one cannot say in this form of time which you have, he will begin to perceive spiritual truths. He'll begin to see the immensity of the power of the spirit which animates all life. There have been those in your world who have tried to solve the riddle of man, not only metaphysically, but also in regard to the physical body. And there have come upon the earth great souls with great intelligence who have learned much and know much and have contributed much to the good and the welfare of the human race. But there are no men as yet who can create life. For that is the indestructible force which is behind all humanity. And when humanity realizes the tremendous reality and fact that life is the man, life is the power, and life itself is indestructible, and the body is but the vehicle. All in this great outer space, away from earth, its unbounded life, is stored all the memories of the past, and all that man has accomplished, and all that he can accomplish is there to be found, and all that is to be comes from this source, which is still life, the breath of life, the spirit of man, the indestructible. This is what matters. And if we take on shape and form, whether it is that we are born into an earthly body as such, or whether we take on shape through memory of past selves for recognition, or whether it is that we decide the need for some purpose to re-enter into a material body and become man as man is understood on earth again for some purpose, this in itself, important though it is, and perhaps vital for its age and time, this in itself is but the smaller part of the immensity of man's realization of truth. Truth, which is all powerful, which is all life, which is indestructible beyond space and time, beyond past, present or future. Life, which is God, and God is life, and we are of it. You, my child, and others known to you, are all part of this indestructible life. And this life has inhabited many frames and given itself many names, has learnt many things, and has accomplished much. It has suffered greatly and rejoiced occasionally. But in all its expressions, in all its realizations, it has come further into the truth of the infinite, for we are infinite. I've often said that we are all of one spirit, the indestructible spirit, which is life. Past memories, past lives, past associations, fulfillments, promises of fulfillment, and all the things that we have tried to bring to you have had their place and their purpose. But only when eventually the earthly body ceases to function in its natural surrounding and you are freed from the ties that bind, can one ever hope to achieve and understand all the many things that we desire that you should understand? But this I have promised, and this I shall fulfill, that you shall be given more of truth, that you shall become more and more conscious of the realities of life, and that you shall be enabled in some measure to bring enlightenment to others. And the instrument that we use shall play his part in the fulfillment of the work for which he was chosen, for which he was sent, in an earthly body to do. How you children have come together and associated once again in a small circle though it may seem at the moment. And yet, diverse though you may seem at times in material thoughts, so are you bound in the oneness of love and of spirit that is indestructible, because it is the same power and the same spirit that has sent you there once more to work in earthly conditions. How often have we said, be patient? How often have you felt, because of the limitations of the body and time itself, irritated and frustrated? How often do we hear the instrument give vent to his earthly feelings? And yet, here is the opportunity that was sought. Here is the way that was made. And here is the path that is trod. And others might follow. The revelations of the Spirit are many, and much is yet to come. If there has been a lull for a few weeks, it is because of difficulties of material and not spiritual. Patience will bring its rewards, and there are many. Be of good faith. My blessing has been with you, children.
Thank you, Lucilla.
Each one of you to realize how you could overcome what seems so often the limitations of the body. Only I could impress upon you, there is nothing that cannot be achieved. There is nothing that is impossible to obtain. Combined with yours and the faith that you have, so much we can accomplish. Forget body. Forget the limitations of the body, or as they seem to you. When you sit, think not of the mundane things of earth, all the things that press upon you daily, but open up your thoughts to the immensity of what you call space, and draw from it the life-giving force which will help us to achieve that we might bring more knowledge and illumination, so that those in your world who are searching and seeking and desiring these things should find through you the key to their own salvation, to their own happiness, truly the happiness of the Spirit. Be of good faith.
Farewell, Lucilla. Thank you. Bring it back on the gold standard.
That's
it. But now, conditions are very good.
Right.
Very good, yes. Bring me back about where we were some weeks ago?
Yes.
You're sitting Wednesday, Thursday, aren't you?
Thursday, yes.
Oh, I look forward to seeing you Thursday. Oh, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, then.